You should not follow the chukas ha'akum. Whatever the goyim do, you shouldn't do that way. This is an iser daraisa, and it seems to be an overly broad iser daraisa. There are many things that goyim do that we also do. For example, they breathe. It would be hard to argue that it would be chukas ha'akum not to breathe, so therefore if somebody wanted to be an Orthodox Jew, he should stop breathing. That would significantly limit the numbers of students we could recruit here at Yeshiva, and that would be a bad thing. Therefore, the Gemara takes this on and tries to define what is the Isser of chukas ha'akum. When we say imitating the goyim, what about the goyim can we imitate? We also have two eyes, a nose, a mouth. There's lots of things which we are very similar to goyim. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives us the case of Sorfin al-Malachim, that there was a minog that they had, that after the king would die, they would burn all of his objects. Much like the goyim did, even by the Jewish kings, when the king died, that's it, everything of his gets burned. So the Gemara asks, how can you do that? Isn't that chukas ha'akum? The goyim make up a chok. The goyim make up a thing that they do for no particular reason. And here we're going to go imitate it. That's an isser. So the Gemara says, Ha de Tanya, says in the price of Sarfin al Hamalach of Lomi Darke Amori. So we have a tradition that you're allowed to burn the items that the king owned after he died, and that is not considered Darke Amori. This is not considered following the Goyim. Why is that? Hechi Sarfinon, how is that allowed? Vakasivu Bechuk Oseyem Lo Selechu. Isn't it against the Pasuk of Bechuk Oseyem Lo Selechu? Elohim, the Kasiv Srifa Bo Reisa. No, it's written in the Torah that you're supposed to do it. Diksiv, misrufas amusecha, v'lami naya kogam rinan. That since it's written in the Torah, since there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah which indicates that we did it, so it wasn't the goyim's idea. It might be a silly idea, but it was our idea first. We invented it. Since we invented it, nachukas ha'akum, they're following us. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Interesting, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah asks the same question, but gives a different answer. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah comments, Rabbanon Savri, Sreifa Chukahi. The Rabbanon say that this is a chok to do Sreifa al Malachim. But Tanya Sofran al Malachim, the Lomi Darkei Amori. It says that you're allowed to burn the items of the king that has passed away. That's not considered Darkei Amori. Same question as the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Doesn't it say B'chukosei Moselechu? Shouldn't this be a Nisr Doraisa? Ela the Kulei Amis Srifa here. No different answer. And we talk about Chukas Akma has to be a Chok. We understand that in the Torah the mitzvahs are considered there's a Chok and there's a Mishpat. There's certain mitzvahs that make sense. You shouldn't kill people. That probably wouldn't make sense without the Torah. You shouldn't steal. Certain things you need to run society, we understand why there are certain halachas. But not eating basar b'chalav, we wouldn't have thought about, oh, that's a chok. Something that supposedly has no reason. Paraduma has no reason. So, in order to be also the Gemara in the case, it has to be a chok. It has to be a chukasakum. They breathe, there's a reason for that. But there are certain things they do, they wouldn't seem to be much of a reason at all. So it's those things that we're not allowed to, imitate. And in fact, Sreifas Malachim, the Gemara says, is not a chok. Why not? Ela chashivusahi. This is a way of showing kavod to the king. Such a great king, no one else can use it. No one can fill his shoes, literally. But everything that the king had, that has to go with him. It's a chashivusa. It's a way of showing respect to the king. So it's not a chok. It's not for no reason. So Tosfos comments right there and then, I don't understand. Why is the same question asked in two different Gemaras and you get two different answers? In one Gemara, it's insistent on saying the reason that it's allowed is because it was our idea. And the second one says it's not a chok. So Tosfos, we won't read it on the side, it's a little bit on the longer side, answers that there's two types of chukas ha'akum. The first one is anything that the goyim do, l'shem avodah zarah, or l'shem pritzus. If there's anything out there that the goyim are doing as a form of worshipping their religion, no matter what, that is aser. A. And B, not only that, but any chok that they have, anything they do for no reason in particular, unless we came up with the idea ourselves, that also is aser. Every what he calls a minog shtus. Lots of things out there that they do for no particular reason, right? They wear funny fashion statements. They have funny types of haircuts. There's no real reason behind this. There's no logic behind it. So there are two forms of chukas akel. Therefore, Tosos comments, you need two different answers to explain why it doesn't fall into either one. In terms of, is it avodah zarah? So the Gemara in avodah zarah says it's not. Because they're not doing it as a form of worship. It's not that they're taking the king's objects and they're offering it as a sacrifice to their gods. They're not doing it to show chashivas. They're doing it to show, oh, look at that. They're doing it for the sake of the king, to show kavod. And of course, in fact, even if we had invented it, if it was Shem Avodah Zarah, it's awesome. Well-known example given is that we read in the parshas this week's that the Avos used to bring karbonos on a bama. Right, wherever they wanted to, they brought a carbon. Nowadays, it's also. The Rambam says the reason it's also because that became Avodah Zarah. But the Avos did, Roshem Shemayim became Avodah Zarah, and therefore it became Aser. So therefore, the first thing to make sure is that it's not Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says it's not. But let's say it's just a minhag shus. Right, like they have at the homecoming parades, you go, you burn lots of things, big fires, Texas A&M, right, these huge fires. For what reason? For no reason. So even if it's not L'shem Avodah Zarah, maybe it's L'shem Shtus, maybe it's also for that reason. So the Gemara says no, because even if it's Shtus, it was our idea. And the Gemara said, Hedron says it's a pasuk. We came up with it first, and even the Shtus, it's mutter. Yes? So I think what Tosfos is saying is that if they think it's logical, it doesn't necessarily make it logical. Why is this a great showing of kavod? One could argue. You know, this is what they do to make it. Let's give an example. So let's say that when the king walks in, there's someone who sprinkles rose petals in front of him. So they do l'shem kavod, that still could be shtos. I think that's what they're saying. That's the opinion of Tosfos. So Tosfos, in defining what is chukas akum, says there are two categories of chukas akum. One is l'shem avodah zarah, the other is l'shem shtos, and both of them are asur. And the only way you're going to get out of something that's l'shem avodah zarah, you're never going to get out of it. And l'shem shtos, if it was a Jewish idea, that's okay. You think that someone told me an example once, there's a brand of clothing called Fubu. You're familiar with Fubu? Fubu is Rashi Tavis. Fubu is Rashi Tavis for us, by us. Right? Meaning that supposedly it's aimed at a certain urban population. They should realize that not only is it for you, but it's by you. That that's who you're supporting. Seems that it's owned by a bunch of Jews. So the idea being that even if Fubu, but still, Jews came up with it, it's mutter. Yes.
Okay, but it seems that there's implied for something else to fight it. It's not just saying this bit of the Torah is okay. And it's not just, it doesn't have to be in the Torah. It's not just that you can do it anyway.
No. I think you got that wrong. If it's just the fact that it's in Torah indicates that we invented it.
So we can do it.
We predate them. Right.
So therefore we can do it.
Right. If it's
even though it's just.
Right, if it's not just, for example, breathing, even if it's their idea, let's say, we can still do it, right? Like penicillin. So the person who made the penicillin wasn't Jewish. It's not a shtus. There's some sense behind it. That therefore is not a chok.
It just seems there the line between burning a few things in, or the rose petals, and breathing, recreation versus jogging, may not be, it's not breathing, but breathing on the other hand, it's not something that's entirely stupid.
I don't think it's a chok. I mean, my doctor tells me it's not. So as you might have guessed, there's a fair amount of rabbinic literature on where does everything fall out. Just give an example. So I remember a while back reading anyone from Staten Island? Didn't think so. So this is a little marketing survey we do here in the middle. So So there's a fellow, Rabbi Isaacson, the Shtiebel there, who wrote several volumes of Tshuvas. So in him he has a question, whether you have to clink glasses after you say L'chaim. Okay? Right? Is that Chukas Akam? You have to clink glasses. So the shadow was, well, why did the Goyim clink glasses? So I always heard that the reason was that because it used to be in the prehistoric times or in the Middle Ages, people would poison each other's glass. So by clinking it together, a little my wine falls into yours, a little yours falls into mine, and then we're both going to drink it. It indicates I didn't poison yours, because else I wouldn't be drinking mine. That's what I always said. But he said no. He said the reason is different. He said that when you drink a cup of wine, four out of the five senses are nana. Obviously, there's a sense of taste is nana, there's a smooth feel, a certain bouquet, nice look, a certain smell. But the only thing that does not nana from a cup of wine is this sound. You don't hear it. So if by clinking it, all five of the senses are nana from the cup of wine. But either way, he said, so therefore, that's not a chok. There's a reason behind it. But take a different example, wearing a tie. Is there any sense in wearing a tie?
No. Actually, there was a ritual.
Uh-oh, not here.
Honestly, but in the old days, when they had horses kicking stuff up, the tie was supposed to protect you
from...
White
stuff.
It was like
cleanliness, or it was like padding?
You
mean on my lot? Right. Well, at this point, it's more expensive to clean your tie than to clean your shirt. Right? So whatever, you think there was a reason. And a bow tie never made sense, quite
honestly.
Right? Right. So therefore, the question is, tie? There's really no sense in wearing any ties. And assuming the first person to put on a tie was a guy, I like to assume it was. So that being the case, you know, why is that mutter? So people argue that according to the Shita Satosis, wearing ties is usher. Period. And in fact, the grub Hoskins like Tosis, which is a well-known posek, and that is why there are certain sects of Judaism where they don't wear ties. Right? Many Hasidim do not wear ties, and it's based on this, it's Hukasakum. Very interesting. Hasidim in general are very makbid like the girl, as we see how they dress. Right? And they very much try not to dress like other people. Seriously, that's the reason they do it. In fact, if you ever bought a shirt from a Hasidish fellow, anybody accidentally do this? So the buttons are on the wrong side. You put the buttons on the other side, but the guy put the buttons on this side, so they put the buttons on that side. Why that's not Begadisha, I don't know. But that would be a more serious issue if putting the buttons on the wrong side. I don't know what they're gaining here. I had this when my in-laws bought me my kittel, and I put it on. I said, this is a girl's kittel. So they cornered the market on kittels to a certain extent, and the buttons are all on the wrong side. But that's not it. If you follow the Shitas HaGron, the Shitas HaTosis, right, Chukas Akum is a very wide-reaching Isser that will not only involve anything that has to do with Avodah Zarah, etc., but even things that are done for no reason in particular, fashion being a fine example, right? Shear pets, pet rocks, I'm sure there are other things that get sold this time of year as we begin the selling season that also fall into whatever trends, fads there are, and unless there's some yid at the beginning of this making a buck off of it, right, it would seem that would be Aser. That's the Shita Satosus. The Ramah, thankfully, quotes another Shita. The Ramah quotes the Shita of the Ran and the Ma'arik, who define Chukas Akum quite differently. The Ramah says that, again, he agrees that anything that's a chok is Aser. However, it's only Aser to the extent that we are worried that the reason they do it is L'shem Avodah Zarah or L'shem Pritzos. Meaning that if there's something that's done L'shem Avodah Zarah or L'shem Pritzos, something is done to encourage immodest behavior or to encourage Avodah Zarah, that is clearly Aser. Right? You wear a t-shirt that says Yoshka is my homeboy, that would seem to be a case that falls into at least one of the two categories. Right? Right? And also, if there's a chok that you don't know the reason for it, you might have to be choshesh, but perhaps it was done l'shem avodah zarah or l'shem princess. However, if you know for sure that as ridiculous as this is, nobody, in fact, is worshipping their chia pets, right? And in chia pets in no way support princess, then it's okay. It might be silly, it might be a waste of your money, but according to the the opinion taken by the Ramah, we tend to pass him, right? Something that is a chok is only also to the extent that you have to worry that it was l'shem avodah zara or l'shem pritzus.
Well, we must say it has, there has to be some sort of
toelis. Well, so he said if there's a toelis, you don't have to worry at all. That's what he said. He talks the case about the issue that was dealt with by the Maharik, which the Ramah is based on, is doctors wearing white coats. Someone asked the Maharik, are doctors allowed to wear white coats? There's a minhag in his community, as it tends to be now. Doctors wear white coats. So is a Jewish doctor allowed to wear white coats as well? And he says, yes. Why? Because people know that he's the doctor. They know that they walk around. But lots of people that are walking around the hospital, you know, there's doctors, there's nurses, there's custodial people, there's the chaplain, there's the people that are visiting. Right, there are plenty of drug representatives. There are lots of people walking around the hospital all the time. Right, you don't want the drug representatives starting to write out the prescriptions, which they would like to be doing it. So therefore, you know, you have to make it clear who's the doctor. So the doctor's the guy wearing the white coat. So that's what he says. So he says is once you have a reason for it, then you don't have to worry that perhaps. If you don't have a reason, then you have to worry. Maybe they did it for this. Maybe they did it for that. But once you have a reason, you're set. That's the end of it. So that is what the Ramah is saying, in fact. So in fact, you should note that it's not so simple. There are a lot of things which people probably do that don't realize that are l'shem avodah zarah. Knock on wood. Right? Knock on wood, I don't know if anyone realizes that has a Christian, right? Throwing salt over the shoulder. Right? Somehow or another it ties in as well. Right? So there are a lot of things that people do, no one knows why, but in fact, they do have l'shem avodah zarah, someplace deep in it, or l'shem pritzus. But in general, many of the other silly things that people do are merely silly things. It's interesting to note, Rav Schechter, I think, applied chukas akum, even according to the Ramah, to growing long hair, to wearing dungarees, that a lot of the things that developed in the 60s, the idea was to throw off whatever society says, that the society wants to do what's normal, I want to wear these very heavy dungaree pants, even though it's in the middle of summer, it doesn't make any sense to show I reject everything in society. Right? So based on that, or I want to grow my hair very, very long, right? The idea of rejecting the morals of society, or Rav Schechter thought that also would fall into chukas akum. I think grunge, I don't know if Rav Schechter was aware of it, the more recent fad which has come and gone, also would seem to be the same idea. A person has to take a look at each one individually. But the one that we're looking at today, thankfully, is Thanksgiving. So where did Thanksgiving come from, etc.? So I will just note a debt of gratitude. You'll note with all these, those of you who've been watching Shirim over the last years, notice that more and more sheets are coming out. And the reason more sheets come out is because there's something called cut and paste. And no one has to type anything anymore. Therefore, I might as well give you a sheet. It's not costing me anything. So I'll just give a note of gratitude to Rabbi Michael Broyd, who has an interesting article on Thanksgiving on the website, who I cut and paste from liberally in terms of the English Mari Makomos here, in terms of a little bit of the history of Thanksgiving. So again, so we're going to apply the Ramah. According to the Ramah, assuming that there's no pritzus involved in Thanksgiving, and there's no avodah zarah involved, then Thanksgiving would be mutter. If there's either of them are involved, it would be usher. So I don't think anyone thinks that Thanksgiving involves pritzus. I don't think that was the reason for it. However, avodah zarah is questionable. Everybody knows in their that Pocahontas and John Smith, they all got together, pilgrims. Sometimes they give shevach l'hodayah to whatever they give shevach l'hodayah to, and everybody lived happily ever after. So the question is that religious? Are we commemorating something religious that was done a few hundred years ago? So the history of Thanksgiving, as they tell me, is as follows. The first Thanksgiving happened in 1622. That Thanksgiving was after a particularly harsh winter. They had survived, so they had this Thanksgiving dinner in July. And if you ever think about it, the fact that Thanksgiving in November makes absolutely no sense. And based on the story that they had a harsh winter, so in November, and November isn't exactly the end of the winter.
Anticipation.
Right? In anticipation that we hope we're going to make it, you know. It's not like having a suda on the air of Yom Kippur, and all shame that we're going to get slicha. It's not that idea. So in fact, the original Thanksgiving had nothing to do with this. The one that they always tell you about, all the stories, all the animated stories came out about, was really a Thanksgiving that was in July of 1622 or the like, and it was forgotten about until 1789. And in 1789, in appreciation for the end of the Revolutionary War, George Washington decided that we should have Thanksgiving. And he gave a little drasha to the Congress to explain why we're going to have Thanksgiving. So it's written here. Now, therefore, I do recommend an assignment the Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent, author of all the good that is, that will be, that may and will undergo rendering, and sincere, humble thanks for his kind care, etc., etc. Obviously, a very religious speech, right? That he made it very clear that that we, right now we're going to have Thanksgiving, and the reason that we have Thanksgiving is to give thanks to the person who I think is God. That is a pretty problematic statement here. Luckily, George Washington's drusha was met with a vote not to have Thanksgiving. Right? And in fact, in 1789, Thanksgiving was not established, and for the next 70 or 80 years or so, Thanksgiving was not kept in any way on a national level. Certain localities had Thanksgiving whenever they wanted to. However, the George Washington speech is not all that important because George Washington's Thanksgiving was not put into place, much like the 1622 Thanksgiving never took off. It wasn't until Abraham Lincoln, in 1863, in the middle of the Civil War, decided that we need something to get together about, and he decided to make Thanksgiving. Yes? What? So you're arguing that, this is interesting, Rabbi Blech has this argument. So what? Our God, their God, we're all in a big happy family. They want to say, right? Generally, they were monotheistic. Right? They might have had some other members of the parliament that we're not so comfortable with. But in general, their God, our God, all the same. So that being the case, you know, what's so bad? So Rabbi Blech happens to go with that. He thinks that Thanksgiving's fine, but oh, so what?
U.S. currency. We should stop using U.S. currency and God we trust. I mean, is that, do we follow it to that level?
I think it's a bit of a problem. Are you taking your wallet into the bathroom? You take your wallet into the bathroom? Right? I think that's a kiss bestows kiss, right? That's why you have, that's the marker for a wallet, because you just put cash in it. Right? Right? That's a question. I mean, there's a more basic question is, give me an example. So, who determines the kedusha of the dollar bill? Is it the person who made the dollar bill, right? Literally, who designed it? Or is it the guy who pushes the button in Philadelphia? Does he decide that? He's the one who's actually writing it. So here's in mind, because the Gemara in Gittin talks about Seamus. It says Sefer Torah shenichtav min sarfin oso, Sefer Torah shenichtav akum gonzim oso. So the idea being that, depending on who wrote it, what they had in mind when they wrote the word, that's how kadosh it is. Right? So that's a tough question. Because based on that, so for example, we have chumashim. Right? So does the yudke vavke in chumash, does that have kedusha because Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it? Or because some guy in Hoboken pushed a button and they made it go off? Ultimately. Right? So that's a different question, not necessarily related to this. However, God is God. We assume that way.
We have a pseudo dog. If someone has an application, we can actually thank them for something. Like Glucksmann, David Sutherland, his daughter was saved from the World Trade Center Brooklyn. So he made a public pseudo dog.
Well, public or private? I mean, his family did it. Like, Bryce didn't stop saying Tafanar on that day, did they? I always thought that if we were going to do something on this, we should stop saying Tafanar, because it always comes out on a Thursday. Tremendous teeth in that debate. I Kol Yom Rishon's going on, should be a short Tafanar, right? It's been of a Sunday. Something has to be done about this. Right? So Moshe Feinstein has a few chewers about this, and his basic approach is that Thanksgiving is a secular holiday. It's not a religious holiday, being that it's a secular holiday. So much like there's no Easter in celebrating Labor Day, Memorial Day, Martin Luther King's birthday. I think your Bush didn't have Martin Luther King's birthday. It was a later invention. It's like, whatever the story is, you know, there are many days on the calendar where people take off for no reason in particular. Two, Thanksgiving is one of the reasons that people take off for no reason in particular. And that being the case, you know, that's fine. You like turkey. You like to have turkey? So have turkey. Not a problem. Hey, you're gonna make a bar mitzvah on Thanksgiving because everyone happens to be off? Good. Do it. Not a problem, Rav Moshe thought. The only thing that Rav Moshe was concerned about is there's an issur about adding dates to the calendar. Now, you can't add holidays. This is a more serious problem. We're dealing with Yom HaTzmaut, Yom HaShoah, Yom Yerushalayim. There are certain things that have been added to the Jewish calendar that people, there is some disagreement about because of this issur of adding things to the calendar. So Rav Moshe said that adding something to the calendar is a problem. So therefore, a person, you know, so don't always do it. Do it in a way. So in fact, the Rav Herzl Henkin, in his tune on the topic, says that every few years you should skip a Thanksgiving. Don't get together every year. Every so often miss a day. Right? Just make it clear that we're not doing it on that day. But overall, Rav Moshe's approach was positive. In the Nefesh HaRav, translation again provided by Rabbi Broid, Rav Shachter codifies that with the rumor that everybody has heard already, that the Rav Soloveitchik used to have turkey on Thanksgiving. I don't know whether that's true or not, that he was never invited over to Soloveitchik for Thanksgiving, nor was anyone else I've ever spoken to. But everyone seems to know it, that the Rav used to give shir early on Thanksgiving. He did give shir. And, however, the reason he gave it early was so he was able to pack up and go home and have and to celebrate it with the rest of the family. And not only that, but when told that there are people that thought that Thanksgiving is ulcer, he didn't understand it. Well, yeah, well, that's not a religious holiday. Do they go to church on Thanksgiving? Are there special tefillahs? Is there midnight mass? Is there... Does anyone come sliding down the chimney? What happened to Thanksgiving that makes it such a religion? He just didn't understand what was the Havamina. So therefore, he clearly thought it was Mutter. The person who's best known for holding it also was Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. Right, this is again, he's a Tosha Baal Peh. Everybody knew that he held it was also. However, in fact, in his writings, there's very close to nothing that indicates that he held it was also. They recently came out, so this is from the Pachad Yitzchak, which are mostly on the Yom Tovim. They came up with some collected letters of his. So they have one letter which says, you know, the Indian Thanksgiving, and the bulk of the letter says that this is something that's also you shouldn't be involved in. Now the reason this is problematic is because the Indian Thanksgiving was put in by the editor. The letter itself never mentions Thanksgiving, right? It could be talking about mixed swimming. It could be talking about, eating the wrong hashgacha, could be drinking the water. Nobody knows what he was actually talking about. He just basically, it's a short chapter which says this is something you shouldn't do, it's a bad idea. And the editor tells, oh, he's talking about Thanksgiving. So in terms of that, it's from a scholarly point of view, it's a questionable how much you can put into this. However, on a practical level, I think it's generally assumed that Rav Huttner was opposed to it.
Why?
He thought it was a religious holiday. He thought that the whole idea of giving Shelef HaAdah, what it was based on, I think he held of the cartoons. He thought that this really was Zechut for John Smith and Pocahontas getting together and making a Suda. I think that's what he thinks. He thought it was a religious holiday. Not in this one, though. He basically said, listen, we have a divided country and we've got to get together. You should know that Thanksgiving does not go back that far. The idea, the fact that we're Koveya, the fourth Thursday in November to be Thanksgiving, that Kaviyas was made by FDR, Roosevelt. Right? That doesn't go back, I'm sure there are probably one or two people here that remember Roosevelt. It doesn't go back, so before that, you know, it was still somewhat shaky.
What about the problem here? God has showered the United States of America with prophets, unlike probably any country in history, and therefore we commemorate this day in terms of God's blessings to the United States of America.
Right. I think the question is, so what do we do about it? I think that Ramosha's point is, yeah, that is the idea behind it. We are thankful for all we have on a national, on a personal level. And therefore we watch football. Right? It's hard to believe that's... therefore, we have big balloons go down the street and we watch football. And, you know, it's hard to imagine that that's a religious ceremony, right? Like even the most modern egalitarian stretch in the imagination. I think that's the idea, as opposed to I think Menashe Klein has a tshuva about this, that in fact it's also that ultimately this is a Christian holiday any day, because ultimately America is a Christian country, and therefore, since this is somewhat related to the Avodah Zarah, which we call Christianity, that's what makes it awesome.
According to Tosfos,
what? So the question of Minhag Shtus is, I think Ramosh writes it quite clearly. If you like turkey, it's not Shtus. Right? Right? To say that you know, let's say the price of turkey's tripled before Thanksgiving, you go out and you buy it anyhow. That would be a Minhag Shtus, but Obama has to give them out for free now in the... it's been 250... Everybody's got a free turkey here. Right? The market shop, right? Everyone's giving out free turkey. So, bus is schlep. Everyone gets together. That's his point. Right? So don't make a big deal about it, right? They would triple the prices. This isn't like matzah before Pesach. You're stuck. That would be the idea. But, you know? I think that's the difference between Minhag Shtus and, yeah, turkey's nice. Interesting. Ramosh had four tshuvas on the topic. The earliest one was in 1953, and the latest one was in 1991. And as the years went on, he became more and more makel. The 1953 one really had a little bit of baal nefesh yachmir not to do it. And by the later ones, he was just basically very close to anything goes. And people, I think Rabbi Broid has this. I think he's probably right. That the reason for it is because America changed. In 1953, it was a more religious America. Right? People took it more seriously. Now, religion and Thanksgiving are so far apart that even if it was a problem 50 years ago, at this point, you know, the difference between President's Day and Thanksgiving is minimal. So I think that's the point that they... This is the point, well, yes...
What is the status of the halachic status of the family which is overseas and celebrating Thanksgiving on the same day?
What? Why am I not convenient that they're overseas? It's not some of the mitzvahs. You don't have to be an American to do it.
Well, I am American. I take my family to Hawaii. And it's a Thanksgiving.
Hawaii's not overseas. It's one of our states, as I checked.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I go to France, Paris.
Okay, that's clearly not America. The holidays.
Okay, and I do celebrate Thanksgiving.
What?
But it's okay.
Why not?
From halachic point of view. I mean, we have to.
Again, it's not one of the mitzvahs of Tlius Abar, it's America. This isn't what it is. It's not like our chores and maestros. It doesn't matter where you are. I think it's all the same.
Bittul Torah by Kinefas or Shabbos Rabbah.
Bittul Torah is a bad thing. I'm comfortable in saying that. But I think, what's the difference between that and summer vacation? Everybody needs a day off sometime, right? I happen to love Thanksgiving because it's great. You get a day off, you can mark those papers that you haven't marked yet, and whatever. It's not like you got a long davening. It's a real day off for no reason whatsoever. It's not a bad idea. I don't know. So again, that's more Rabbi Bayef's idea. Like, well, thank God, it's a good idea. The question is, I think the key word is Hashem's providence. I don't know if the providence and the Hashem quite go together yet. I think that's why we're not quite in the Messianic era. But we are still looking forward to that day.
The concept of a Kar Sato, that's what in Jewish creation, it's only way before Thanksgiving.
I don't think it's not Jewish. I think it predates us. I think Adam Harishon, Isha Shen Nasata. Right? I think that's Adam HaRishon wasn't Jewish. Right? It hadn't been invented yet. So it predates us even. I think HaKar Satov isn't the Chok, though. I think HaKar Satov makes sense.
Even if you're the Baron Sager, you took the same thing to your life.
The Rav Soloveitchik was well known to be a big supporter of Thanksgiving, if I remember correctly.
Also, in terms of the coins of that trust, there's a famous case in Israel when the Reformed Synod was troubled.
An argument I got into with somebody on a bus in your line once.
This is a great opening. Yes.
Once it was claimed that that Moshe had told the Aguda not to serve Thanksgiving during the Aguda conference over Thanksgiving week.
Turkey, I guess, is the word you're
on. That's Turkey.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is there any?
I don't know about the relationship between Moshe and the Agudas caterer. I have no knowledge at all. Yes.
Stanford tonight to find out.
Yeah, Agudas doesn't serve, by the way. I don't have to study Moshe.
Oh, you do.
So it's okay for Jews to get together to eat turkey.
They serve water. What?
So it's okay for Jews to get together to eat turkey on Thanksgiving, but not to make any recognition of the holiday.
I don't think this is something that has to be shunned. You know? I think it's called ex-giving. You know? it's whatever. You know, it's a war thing. Nice, we got a day off. Markets are closed.
I think the idea is on the thing, don't get together and you don't stand and give it a drush.
Is that in the pack?
What's this?
Yes.
I think it's Tzvita Sarambam that says that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah.
For Christians. People get confused about it. Christianity is Avodah Zarah for us. It's not Avodah Zarah for them. Right? So, as far as we're concerned, it is.
That wouldn't make a difference at all?
For them, it would. For us, it won't.
Following up the point that the gentleman made before about whether or not the Jews invented the concept of Hakaras HaTov, the Rambam says that the Sabian community had Hakaras HaTov during the time of Abraham. And what Abraham did is when he invited them into his tent, after the meal he said, you know what Hakaras HaTov is, now make Hakaras HaTov to the Borei Olam.
Right, so Hakaras HaTov is a good thing. Let me just finish up here. Has this very subtle hint that's coming up here. We just pass out here. I have one more Mari Mokum. This is a fascinating one. This is the Ace of Melo. There are other topics which we obviously haven't gotten to, but maybe they'll invite me back next year. Whether turkey is kosher at all is a big issue. But there's an article that came out in November 2001 about, and this is the front page of the Wall Street Journal, regarding whether American Muslims celebrate Thanksgiving or not. And it's unbelievable that almost word for word, if you take out the word Muslim and put in the word Jew, you have every opinion that we have gone over. So the first one is they just to read a few lines, taking the cue from conservative religious leaders who say it's a sin to imitate the kufar, which I assume translates to kofar, or non-believer, many Muslims quietly opt out, right? Because according to the issue of Chukoseim, a lot of Muslims do not follow Thanksgiving. So if you go down, we have marked off the Vineyard of Moshe, right, where they have, to those who say there's no Thanksgiving, who says it's not Islamic, I say it's not a religious event, it's an American event, so it's Talal Aid, an imam who helps support it, right? Similarly, Sherman Jackson, a member of the Fiqh Council, the Muslim scholarly body, right, says that again it's a secular holiday and it's mutter. However, but Yahia Emmerich, the vice principal of the Islamic of New York, says not permissible to engage in Thanksgiving, particularly because the holiday was initiated by Christians. Mr. Emmerich, a convert to Islam, says he observed last Thanksgiving 8 years ago. His family gathers for lunch on Friday, the day after, to just make a point that we don't actually celebrate the actual day. And that's what Hankin's opinion. So if you read on, you see a Moshe, the problem. You get like Hankin or Salvation. Everybody is well represented in the brothers in the Islamic faith. Okay.